When I was a counselor at New Life Ranch, anybody in here go to New Life Ranch? Anybody? Anybody go like as a camper? I did have Jacob as a camper. I might have had some other people as campers, but we had this competition as counselors. We would go into the canteen. Is anybody familiar with the canteen? Everybody know what I'm talking about? It's a place where they sell you stuff at New Life Ranch. We would go in as counselors, and we would try to find products that weren't selling. And then we would take it upon ourselves to see who could go out and market, not manipulate, market the products best. And so you guys are familiar, like, they have nasty things like bacon gum in there. We would walk around and be like, hey, this is the best thing in the world. This is, you have to go get this. This is the big thing at New Life Ranch right now. Surprisingly, throughout that week, it would sell. Kids would go and buy the bacon-flavored gum. It was something else back then. Because they thought, that's what I need to do if I want to be a part of this New Life Ranch thing. We would continue. We would do this with shirts that weren't selling. We would try our hardest to manipulate. That's just what it is. I'm just going to repent and call it what it is. We would manipulate campers to go buy stuff from the canteen so that they could sell it. But eventually, we got to the point where we were tired with the canteen, and so we tried to see if they would do other things. And so one of the things was we were going to see if we could get campers to just walk around with trash bags on. Like that is, I appreciate the laugh, Emily, by the way. It's a good laugh. We would go out and we would wear just trash bags. And we'd walk around camp. Sorry, I didn't prepare that. Whoops. Am I good? We would wear trash bags. I don't even know where the handholds are. If it was 98 degrees, we're wearing trash bags. If it's raining, we're wearing trash bags. And surprisingly, so did campers. We would notice, okay, everybody, can you mute me real quick? Anybody up there, JP? We would walk around and we would see campers wearing trash bags because they thought that was what made them a cool camper at New Life Ranch. This is manipulation to the top degree, but it was a fun study. This is another interesting question. What makes an FSM student an FSM student? Is it the fact that y'all play Powder Puff? Does that make you an FSM student, or is it hammocks, which hammocks are a very popular thing right now? Does that make you an FSM student? What about just looking weird and dressing up as Trump? Yeah, that's great. Got one applause. That's good. Is that, now here's the deal. I love this. I love that you guys can laugh at each other and have fun, but is that what makes you an FSM student? What about going to Timberline? Who in here has gone to Timberline? Who went last year? Who went whitewater rafting? It's awesome. But is that, by the way, if you haven't signed up for Timberline, go ahead and sign up. It is incredible. Should people sign up for Timberline, people who went last year? Yeah, pretty awesome. But is going to Timberline, is going on retreats what makes you an FSM student? What about being in a cell group? Is that what makes you an FSM student? Or what about worship? Are all of these things things that make you FSM students? Here's the thing that's interesting. If you don't have clear guidelines, something laid out to give you clarity as to what actually makes you an FSM student, you could add things left and right and say that's what actually makes you an FSM student. If you don't go to Timberline, not an FSM student. If you're not in a cell group, not an FSM student. There has to be some form of clarity for you to know where you're at. So what makes a follower of Christ a follower of Christ? If you have your Bibles, go to Colossians chapter 2. We're continuing our series in Colossians. And we're looking at a section of Scripture where this is addressed. But Paul comes at it from a different perspective. What tries to disqualify us from being followers of Christ is what Paul's talking about. What tries to disqualify you as a follower of Christ? If you don't do these things, well, you're not really a follower of Christ. If you don't have these things shown in your life, well, then you're not a follower of Christ. This is the issue that the Colossian church is addressing. And as we work through it, I want you to see that he's building an argument. He's trying to prove a point. Paul is a phenomenal case worker. He knows how to observe what's going on, figure out how to develop some type of debate or argument to prove the point. In the beginning, he talks about his love for the Colossians. He builds their trust. And then he points out how incredible Jesus is. The awesomeness of God, the awesomeness, the supremacy of Christ. There's an authority that Paul recognizes. Yeah, Paul loves the Colossians, but he's also pointing them to an authority. And then he also tells them, man, everything that I'm going through is because I love you and because there's purpose in my suffering. I want people to hear the gospel. And then we see that he continues on talking about having your life rooted in Christ and guarding joy and everything that comes with it. And then last week we talked about how full life is actually found in Christ. And so Colossians 2, verse 18 says this, "Let no one disqualify you." Let no one disqualify. You see, this idea of disqualification is similar to a track meet. Anybody watch the Olympics this summer? Anybody in here at all watch the Olympics? No one watched the Olympics? Yeah, had a boring summer. Was it this summer or last summer? This summer, right? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, so last summer. Team USA was disqualified at the Olympics in the 4x1. Because of an illegal baton exchange. See, here's what's crazy is there are rules and regulations put in place, right? There are guidelines that you're supposed to follow in track. And if you break those guidelines, you're disqualified. There is a person in authority who has looked down and said, here is what it means to run track in the Olympics. And if you break one of these rules, you're disqualified. Don't let anyone disqualify you. So Paul is trying to encourage the church to watch out for these guys who are sneaking in and trying to disqualify people and their relationship with Christ. And he says, they're insisting on asceticism, which is this idea that you would punish your body to make yourself look more spiritual. An obvious example would be fasting, that you would fast, remove food from your life to make yourself look good to other people. Hey, if you don't look like you're suffering, you're not a Christian, is what these teachers are teaching. He says they also are really engaged. You have to worship angels, which is probably the most confusing part of this entire passage. What does this mean? And from what I've read and what I've seen is that he's talking about this idea of actually worshiping the angels alongside Jesus. Worshiping something other than the one who's worthy of being worshiped, which is who he talked about in the first chapter. Saying, hey, not only should you be worshiping Jesus, maybe you should worship the angels who are worshiping Jesus if you really want to be spiritual, if you really want to be a follower of Christ. Going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. See, the Colossian church is facing the issue of legalism. There are these guys who have come in and are trying to teach something that is not the original teachings. that are not the teachings of the apostles, that are not the teachings of Paul. These men have not received authority from Jesus, but they're acting as if they do. And they step in and say, hey, you need to add some things to this whole idea of following Jesus. Things that Jesus never talked about and that the scriptures never talk about. If you want to be spiritual, you have to add these things to your relationship. He's going to continue on in Colossians 2:20. Say, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you're still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Why are you submitting to these rules, these restrictions that these guys are making? See, they say things like do not handle, do not touch, do not taste, referring to things that all perish as their use according to human precepts and teachings. See, we do believe, and we're going to see it in Colossians, that the scriptures do tell us to prohibit or remove things from our lives. I mean, you and I both know that we're called to not lust after people. This is obvious. We know through the Sermon on the Mount that anger is not something that should be amongst believers. Gossip. These are all things that Jesus and the apostles have said, hey, don't have this in your life. And then these really good-looking guys are stepping in and trying to deceive. You guys last week talked about David Blaine, didn't you, at the beginning? Hunter showed the video of him throwing up the frog and then swallowing him back down. It's kind of weird. It's really gross. But what Hunter was trying to communicate is that this guy, David Blaine, has some really unique power. And I actually do believe it's demonic, but he could very easily lead you astray. These humans who look awesome, but really deep in their heart is sin. They're the ones who are trying to lead this church into do not taste, do not handle, do not touch. And he's talking about things that you cannot find in the scriptures. All those things correlate to what the Colossian church would have been dealing with. But it's very easy for me to stand up here and say that you should not do X, Y, and Z. And that could be nowhere in the scripture. But unless you know the scripture, and unless you trust me as leadership in your life, I could easily be leading you astray. See, legalism also has with it this idea of prohibiting or removing or restricting things that are not in scripture. There's a theme here that what we have right here in our hands is enough. But we oftentimes don't want to put in the effort to know what's in here. And to be honest, some of it's confusing. Some of it's hard to take in. But the scriptures are our authority. They give us guidance on how we are supposed to live our lives because they're the words of Jesus, the words of the apostles, and the words of the prophets. So he continues, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. These guys who are speaking and trying to disrupt the Colossian church, they look like the real deal. They have the appearance of wisdom. But all they're promoting is self-made religion. Legalism, at its core, is this idea that man is trying to speak for God and say things that God never said, and forcing people to do things that God never said they didn't have to do or that they should do. So legalism is a real thing that I think you guys struggle with, and I struggle with. See, we have these false images in our head that we have to be perfect, that we can't be vulnerable, we can't talk about our struggle with pornography, because if we look weak, then how could God ever love us? We can't be open about our anger towards our friend because people are going to judge us. We can't seek reconciliation because that's messy and we have to put on a good front. It's legalism. God has called us to be broken. God has called us to be vulnerable, to confess our sins to one another. If I do this, then God will do that. If I pray for my team to win, then God will let my team win. If I read my Bible 8 times a day, then I'm going to get a good parking spot. The list goes on and on and on. But God is not a vending machine. We don't do things just to receive things. That would be an idea that is not found in the scriptures, that if you do something, God will do something in return. But it's a lie that a lot of us believe. Attending church stuff makes you a good Christian. To be honest with you, I love that you guys show up at Fall Retreat and Celebration and Cell Group and all that stuff, but it's not what makes you a good Christian. And we can begin to believe this lie that if our outward appearance, if the things that we do look good, then we are good. Instead of believing that everything we do is just a response of the grace of God, and so we expect nothing in return, we're just incredibly thankful. We want to go be with our brothers and sisters in Christ and share in fellowship with each other and experience life change with each other because grace propels us to want to go live our lives. And lastly, is this idea that God cares more about what I do than who I am. And a lot of these are repeating, but it's again this whole idea that we think that God is more impressed with what we do instead of what he's already done. See, Jesus has paid for your sin. Jesus has gone and paid the penalty of death for you so that you can have eternal life. You don't have to do anything to earn God's favor. You don't have to try to impress God. And God already loves you. God has already died for your sins. God has already paid the penalty and pursued you so that you can be in a relationship with him. So we can't get this stuff twisted. We can't get these things backwards, because if we do, we propel ourselves into man-made religion. So how do you guard yourself from this? How do you guard your relationship with Christ? And it's pretty easy. He says in here that all of these things have the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion, but there's no value in stopping the indulgence of flesh. God, look how good I am. Sin. Pride. God, did you see how many times I read my Bible this week? Pride. God, did you see how many people I invited to cell group? Pride. I mean, you can try to put on a front. You can try to muster up the effort to do all of these things on your own strength, but it's not going to keep you from indulging in your flesh. You're still going to be hungry for pride. You're still going to be seeking something that God never meant for you to actually seek after. And so he says this. He says, you hold fast to the head. You cling tightly to the captain. You cling tightly to the leader of this whole thing. You cling tightly. You hold tight to Jesus. Because Jesus is where the growth comes. And that growth is only a growth from God. So how do you find victory over your flesh? How do you keep yourself from legalism? You cling to Jesus. You follow Jesus. You pursue after Jesus. Pretty simply, you follow Jesus and not man-made religion. You follow Jesus and not self-made religion. See, does anybody in here like cookies? We'll try to make this really, really easy. Anybody like cookies? Anybody like Aaron's cookies? Yeah, we all miss them, trust me. But what's the basic ingredients in a cookie? Let's see what we got. Butter? Butter, yeah, it's in there. Trust me. Salt. That goes in there. Vanilla extract. Baking soda or baking powder. That's correct. I don't make cookies. Chocolate chips. Yeah. What about the basics? What about sugar? Okay. So that goes in there. What else do we have in cookies usually? Brown sugar? Yeah, that's in there. I Googled this before I came, by the way. So that for sure is in there. Yeah, eggs are in there. That's true. But I don't bring eggs to church anymore because at Supercell, I got destroyed by them from our junior high kids. So I don't trust anybody with an egg anymore. So eggs are somewhere in there. Just imagine it. And then flour, right? Flour. So these are the ingredients for cookies, right? It's going to be really bad if that falls. Those are the ingredients. That's what the Creator has designed a cookie to be, is right here. The essentials for making a cookie. And if this is all I said, hey, make me a cookie, and this is what I wanted, what would it look like? What would it look like to, let's see what else we could add. Honey. Honey? We probably, yeah, but this is what I want. This is what I desire. But does honey probably sound good? Like we could probably put it in there? Yeah, but it's not actually allowed. That's actually, looks good, but this is what the original Creator designed. This is what the Creator desires, right? As these essentials, but honey looks like it could be a part of it. Honey looks good, but the Creator never said he wanted to add honey. But what about chia seeds? Anybody ever use chia seeds? Yeah, chia seed cookies, you guys want those? No, okay, you're getting sharp. I like that. So that can't go in there, but people want it to be in there. They want chia seed chocolate chip cookies. But no, okay, we're not gonna put it in there. What about taco seasoning? We want taco seasoning in there? No, we're not going to put it in there. Because I don't want taco seasoning in here. This is what I have designed the cookie to be. I don't want, what about Tabasco? Anybody want Tabasco with their cookie? Sweet and spicy, a good combination. Yeah, Tabasco is not going in there. See, here's what I want you to see. Is that if you're making cookies, you're following a recipe. You're gonna stick to it. There may be things that you're like, man, I should probably add that. But if you want to make the cookie, follow the recipe. Don't get distracted with things that aren't in the recipe. So here's an easy application for you guys. Whenever you're trying to navigate this whole Christianity thing, this whole following Christ thing, it's simple. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. How do you receive eternal life? Through faith in Jesus. How do you enter into a relationship with Christ? Faith in Jesus. You're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. That's the ultimate within our faith, is that we entered into a relationship with Christ because Christ came and entered into our world and died the death that we deserved. But there is also a reality to this faith, and it's obedience to Jesus and the scriptures. You have the Bible, and it's laid out, if you give it the effort and if you give it the time, it's laid out what this looks like. It's laid out the recipe, the instructions. But there are going to be situations where you're looking at the scriptures and honestly, you're a little confused. You're going, man, honey looks good. Why can't we add honey to this? Well, at some point, you need to be in a relationship with somebody who is fully aware and trying to pursue after this truth, this recipe with their whole life. We call them cell leaders. We call them people who are on staff. We call them your parents. We call them each other. Godly wisdom, who will look at you and go, man, I don't think that's part of it. Yeah, you definitely don't want to put taco seasoning inside that cookie. It is not going to taste good. But then there's times where God has given us the Holy Spirit. And there are certain issues, to be honest with you, that are hard to navigate. And so you look at the scripture. What does the scripture have to say? And what does godly wisdom speak into this? And then lastly, what is the Holy Spirit telling you? See, we want to follow Jesus and not man-made religion. Let's pray. Hey, Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your grace and your goodness, that you would be so in love with us that you would send your son to die so that we could enter into a relationship with you. But even more than that, that you would give us the scriptures to see what it looks like to follow after you and to give us godly wisdom through our cell leaders and through our friends and parents and staff people. But also, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit and his guidance and leadership in our lives. So may we worship you in confidence, but may we be obedient to follow what the scriptures say for our lives. So in your name we pray. Amen.